I've had clients that said they struggle to sleep at night. And 9 out of 10 times, they're trying to process things that they haven't processed yet. It's like if you cut your arm, you don't have to tell your body to heal it. We have an intelligence that's within you, that's within me. It heals. Whatever made the body heals the body. When you have a cut with your mind, your mind is trying to heal it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dream Out Loud podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with my man,
Mr. Lewis Huckstep.
I always start with helping people understand their authentic self, their values, their purpose, their mission, their vision. You're going to attract people and circumstances to trigger the things you haven't healed through. So when something does trigger you, beautiful, that's a gift.
If you were to go back to your 18-year-old self, give him 30 seconds of advice, what would it be?
Read the breakthrough experience, read the values factor.
Welcome to the Dream Out Loud family, where young entrepreneurs come to learn the tips, tricks, and attitude of what it takes to live their dream life. I'm your host, Morgan T. Nelson, a former carpenter who created financial freedom by the age of 23 and have since spent my time traveling around the world living my dream life, inspiring, educating, and teaching other young people how they can do the same. Each and every week, I'll bring you the most epic guests who are going to share their stories, wisdom, tips, and tricks on how they've been able to create a life by design. Here at Dream Out Loud, we're committed to helping inspire and educate you to be able to execute your full potential. Alrighty, guys, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Dream Out Loud podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with my man who is actually returning on the podcast for the second time. Yeah. So this guy, we actually sat down. He was probably one of the first episodes we actually did. I did it at my first house. I did it at the house that I started this podcast at. And he was 23 at the time. He was owning multiple gyms. And we talked all things about how to pivot in business through chaos because it was in the middle of lockdown.
Yeah.
When he had all these businesses got locked down, all these crazy shit. And I wanted to bring him back on because the journey he's been on since then has just been absolutely insane. So he creates huge success already at the age of 23, but over the last 3 years, he's built a thriving coaching business now, which is quite recently, where he's done, you did nearly six figures in a month.
98,000.
So. You should have charged GST on it, right? $98,000 a month, right, in your first year in the coaching business. And he's absolutely exploding on social media. So I wanted to sort of bring him in and pick his brain a little bit around all things pivoting in business, releasing trauma, and how that's actually holding us back in entrepreneurship and in business, and maybe even social media. So everybody, welcome to the show again, Mr. Lewis Huckstep.
What an intro, man. It feels like it's been a pleasure. Just I was doing some reflecting before I came down here. I jumped on my podcast because you've jumped on mine twice as well. And I just went back and I'm like, fuck, we've known each other for a while. Like we started in the MLM world together. And yeah, just watching your journey is fucking awesome, man. Just even what we were speaking about before we clicked record or until we started talking properly. Yep. It was, man, it's fucking awesome to just be along the journey with you, man. It's been really cool.
Mate, I appreciate it. And it's always good to see other people that are just doing epic shit as well. So obviously we keep in touch a bit and we're always cheering each other from the sideline. Yeah. And your growth you've had over the last year has just been nuts. So I want to dive right into it though. So I said before we started, I was like, you're talking a lot about relationships lately, which is interesting because you sort of help people with business as well.
Yeah.
How does actually having, like, let's talk right into this. How does someone... Like, how does your relationship, if it's good or bad, affect your direct results in business and in entrepreneurship?
It's a beautiful question, man. The line that I use that makes the most sense to my mind anyways is a relationship magnifies the work you have or haven't done. So it's like, there's a quote that I use a lot. It's, you will attract people and circumstances to reveal the wounds you haven't healed through or reveal the things you haven't worked on yet. And the place that happens the most is where you're in high levels of stress, which is like business, where you get triggered, you get overwhelmed, you get stressed, you snap at your team members, you have all these problems and fires you got to put out. But it will happen the most in an intimate relationship where you do, there's a level of safety where you're going to express more sides to yourself. Because as well as we do know each other, I wouldn't know you as well as your partner Simone knows you, right? Like she would see you when you haven't had enough sleep, even though you've had a big week this week. She'll see you when you're super stressed, when you're not feeling yourself, when you're a little bit off, when you haven't like fulfilled your values or whatever. And she would, just by knowing you and seeing you in so many more versions of you, she's going to shine light and awareness on those parts you haven't worked through. So that's why in relationships we trigger each other. That's why we push each other's buttons. It's why we have those arguments. And if you can have the awareness and the consciousness to heal through whatever they bring to the surface, when you work on that, a rising tide raises all boats. So you heal that and then you're better in your business. You're more authentic. You can your emotional intelligence goes up. Like my emotional IQ of being able to regulate when I'm triggered, how does that show up in my business? How does that show up when things are going wrong and you've got to step up as a leader, you've got to lead your team? So yeah, I think I do a bit of content on relationships because I have a fair few people say, are you a relationship coach? I don't have that on as the title, but a lot of the work I do is definitely magnified in relationships. So I do a lot of relationship coaching with some of the clients I work with, but yeah, that's kind of why I talk about it, man, because it's showing you where the work can be done.
What's the biggest thing you've learned in your relationship with Georgia? Like, what's she shined the light on with you?
That's good, man. Generally speaking, just the stuff I haven't worked on, man. Like, probably one of my biggest wounds was feeling scared and feeling shy and feeling unconfident as a young boy. That's autistic, Asperger's, ADHD, emotionally volatile parents, and didn't have the quote mentor or coach or father figure that I wanted. I got what I needed, not what I wanted. And so yeah, just bringing that, like, to be super vulnerable on this podcast with you, like in the bedroom with me and Georgia, like Georgia's my fiance. It's like sometimes I lack confidence in that, and that's like, and that triggers me. It's like, oh my god, I'm that scared little boy still, and it's like, shit, where's that coming from? Where's the healing there? And then you go do the processing work, and obviously that ties into how do you heal. There's so many sort of modalities to do that, but yeah, probably confidence, self-worth. Just little things, man. It's like me and her one day were wrestling, and it's the little things. Like, a lot of people know, if you've been through something quote big, like an abuse, an abandonment, parents left, suicide, or like sort of quote bigger things, most people are aware of that. But it's all the little things that you're not aware of. It's like when you go to school on your first day and you're really nervous and fucking scared. Well, I was anyways. And it was like,
I hated it. I changed schools,
yeah,
from primary school when I was like the man.
Yeah.
And then to high school, it was fucking shit.
Yeah. And I went to social anxiety, autistic, whatever. I went to 5 different schools. Fucking hated it. I cried on first day of school, every new school, except for high school. I pulled myself together. but it's like an example is like people think trauma or wound is like those big sort of like quote big ones like war or rape or abuse or whatever it may be. Like, it might not be feeling seen or heard or validated when you're young. So it's like that story I'll sort of get into. It's like you're going to school, it's your first day, you're super scared, and you're like, mum, dad, I don't want to go in there, I'm really overwhelmed, I don't know what to do. And mum and dad, with the best intention, just say, you'll be sweet little guy, girl, just go in there, go have some fun. It's like, did they validate you? Did they make you feel seen? Did they make you feel heard and loved the way you needed it back then? Probably not. So that could be quite a wound that was then, I guess, I say seeds. That's a seed that's planted. Once you heal it, it sprouts. And then that will show up in your relationship where maybe your partner doesn't make you feel seen. Mm. Like, you're really excited about something and they kind of dismiss you because they're doing something. They didn't mean to, but they just triggered you because they see more sides to you, right? So yeah, it's just having those little sort of micro triggers. There's one, I've already shared this one publicly, so I'll share this one again. Georgia was making me dinner. She was making me a burger. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. She asked if I wanted a burger. I said, yeah, please. And I walked up and because I just wanted to help out and see how she's doing. And I walked in, she's making fried eggs for the burger and they look like scrambled eggs. So the eggs were fucked. I said, babe, what's going on here? And she said, and obviously instantly I was aware of it. She got triggered. And that you can obviously, you can see it, you can feel it, like she'd been triggered. And it turned into a bit of an argument. We pushed each other's buttons and we got on each other's toes, but regulated, got through that. And then, because we're both aware of the work, I said, hey, babe, like, where's that come from? She's like, I was thinking about it. It was my stepdad. Like, I couldn't do anything right. Everything I did was wrong. I was never good enough. So I revealed that to her. And then she has her way, journaling, meditating, whatever she does, gets a healer, works through it. And so next time, because now the wound is healed, I'm not going to trigger that. And so the relation gets better. And then, so yeah, I sort of shared a bit of mine and a bit of Georgia's stuff. Just so.
Yeah. Look, I'm curious to know, so Georgia, right? So Georgia's online. Georgia's done OnlyFans and everything, right? Is she still doing OnlyFans?
She's slowly weaning off it, but right. Yeah, probably like from when she was, I guess, at the peak of it, probably down to about 20%. She's building up YouTube, so she's like sort of like transitioning through it.
So I'm curious to know about that dynamic in your relationship, right? Because based off the things you were talking about, because I want people to, like, if we were to look at the spectrum of partnering, like growing through your partner, I imagine, especially as a guy, to be like, oh, my partner is on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
would definitely bring some shit to the surface for you to work on. And then to be able to work through that. So I imagine less if a dude listens to this, for example, or a guy or a girl, their partner is not doing OnlyFans, but they still have moments of feeling jealous maybe of their partner or they're insecure.
Yeah.
This is definitely gonna be useful for them. So talk to me about that. How was that for you when you guys got together and you knew that's what she was doing? And what did that bring up for you? How did you work through that? Were you insecure about that? Like, what did you get from that?
Quite the opposite. So she was, Georgia was a, and still does, like, topless modeling. Like, she was a nude modelist, lingerie model before we were dating. And OnlyFans wasn't around when she started. And she was working at a job she didn't hate. I said, babe, why don't you just start it? Like, just use the stuff you're doing. Only do things you're proud of doing. And you'll make more money than... She was like a receptionist at some at a chiropractor. I said, just do that. So I was the one that actually suggested she does that. I'm like, babe, you're doing topless modeling. She can't post it on her Insta. She had her Instagram like deleted like 10 times. So it's like, you can't even post the stuff that you're doing. Like, she loves artistic modeling. And I'm like, why don't you just take that, post it there, and get paid to do it?
So how is someone like you okay with that then? And let's just call the stereotypical average guy who's kind of like, you know, like,
that's my partner.
You know, like, they're that. What's that word I'm looking for? That territorial type thing. Like, if we were to literally poll 100 guys, most guys would probably be like, no, I don't want my girlfriend doing that.
Yeah.
And you're okay with it. So what's the difference?
I've never been asked the question, man. Like, I'm trying to think of it. I never saw... Maybe this come back to my parents' relationship. Like, I probably, if I be vulnerable, it's probably because I saw my mum and dad, how my dad was very controlling over my mum, and it was quite not healthy. It's like, I never really wanted my relationships to be like that. Like, I'm not very controllive over Georgia. Like, it's Friday night. What the fuck's time? Like, it's like 6:30 on a Friday night. I don't even know what she's doing. Like, I think she's at home, but it's like, we live like very unique lives, and we come together and live life together and grow together. So I've never really been like that as a whole. Like, I've just like, I'm like, fuck it. If you want to do it, do it. Why would I? It's like, if like, say your part, it's Simone, right? Your partner. So say Simone said, hey, Morgan, I want you to stop doing this, 'cause I said so. Yeah. You'd be like,
wouldn't really work.
So it's like, and to sort of frame it a little bit better, it's like, babe, if you want to do this, keyword want to, not you should, you got to, you must. It's like, if you want to do this, do it. Who am I to control you and your wants and your life? The line, I guess my boundary and my standard was like, only do things you're proud of. Like, if you're doing it purely for money, then I have quite a problem with that. But if you're happy to do it and you're inspired to do it. Like, you're going to make fucking 100 times the amount doing that for this much of the time compared to working, what, $20 an hour at a reception job. So, yeah, I think I've always been like that. I've never been quite controlled over friendships. I always believed, do what you truly love, do what you're inspired to do. And if anyone's trying to project their stuff onto you about how you should live life, like, you know, DeMartini, he talks about values a lot. That's just projecting how you think someone should live their life. So I'm like, yeah, that's got to be me from the start. So I didn't really have too many issues, to be honest.
Walk us through that. I really, because what you just said there, I honestly believe is the path to a life of peace. Yeah. Being so okay with yourself and your truth and knowing what's great for you, and also knowing that other people have their own values, have their own thing. And because that's how I sort of view that. I'm not going to mention the name. There was someone, right, who I've seen on social media lately, and my first sort of judgment of them when I saw them, you know, in person, I was kind of like, oh, this person's a bit fucking interesting, right? Yeah. They're kind of like, you know, a bit up themselves, a bit of a fucking ego, and I was kind of like, I don't know if they're really my person.
Yep.
And then I was, after that initial thought comes the judgment thought, I was like, well, that's them, and that's also parts of me, that's why I can see it in them. Or perhaps parts of me that I'm not bringing out that I probably should.
Yeah.
And then after I got through that, I was able to see them for exactly who they were and absolutely love the shit out of them for that. I'm like, that's so cool that you can pull off that fucking attitude. And that's just funny. And I love that for you. Yeah. And I believe that's given me the most peace in life. And I'd be so okay with that. So how do you think because you've done a shit ton of work on yourself. So I think that probably would have helped a lot coming into this relationship.
Yeah,
so for the people listening to this going, well, I do get triggered so easily by other people and I judge other people and all these sorts of things. How can we get to a place of actually just being like, that's so okay that you can be that way and I can be this way, and
yeah,
it's okay.
It's beautiful, man. And you've obviously done a lot of work yourself as well. So it's beautiful to have a conscious conversation with someone. So a lot of the things you kind of alluded to just then, it's like your perception of me is a projection of you. So whatever you perceive, whenever you're judging someone like you were alluding to, there's a piece of you in them that you haven't learned to accept and love and integrate into yourself. So I always sort of default to that. So silly little story. I was driving out of my house, and this is like a month ago, and I was driving out, and like this, I was driving to turn right, and the person who was, they were doing like a U-turn, but the light was red, but they just kept like inching their way around the U-turn. It's like, I was about to like drive into them. I'm like, so I was driving really slow, like, what the fuck's this person doing? And I drive past them, and I look in, and I was kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? I looked in, and this person just like giving me the finger straight, and she looked really pissed, really upset. Well,
you were just next to them.
I was just driving, yeah, like driving around because they were running a red light. I was looking in like, what's going on? And she just had the big finger out, looked really pissed. And it got me a little bit. I was like, where do I do that? What's the trait? Where have I given the finger? Where have I been pissed off? Where have I been angry? When have I been frustrated before? So a lot of it is what you're saying is what's the part that you're judging, and be specific. So what specifically am I judging in this person? What trait, action, inaction am I judging? Where do I do the same thing? And back to the quote that I think I started this with when we went on relationships is, you're going to attract people and circumstances to trigger the things you haven't healed through and you haven't worked through. So people, I say your greatest triggers are in your life are your greatest healers in life, because it's given you the awareness of where the work is to be done. How do you work through something if you don't know where it is? So when something does trigger you, beautiful, that's a gift. Where can I heal through? And that's why, again, back to the start, that's why I do talk a fair bit about relationships. But yeah, I would take for the person, like say your partner or say a coworker or something pisses you off, and say, what specifically is pissing you off? I would say, what specifically is the trait, action, in action? And then own that first. And then I would ask the question, where have you perceived this same trait? So say it's say someone lies to you and that pisses you off. And it's like, okay, great. Well, when has someone lied to you, or you've been lied to and it was really painful for you? Maybe mum and dad lied. Maybe ex-boyfriend cheated on you, or whatever it may be. And there will be some resistance or tension or undissolved hurt there. Let's go heal that. So then when it happens again, it just bounces off you. Because what someone does is their shit. How you react and respond is your shit. You could sit here right now, Morgan, and say the most fucking hurtful, mean things to me. And if the wounds are unhealed, it will trigger me. I'll say, fuck you, we'll get into an argument. But if the healed version of me, it will bounce off. And that's where you're to take ownership. Like if no one's making you feel anyway. No one's making you feel the way that you feel. It's your stuff. If you think the external world dictates how you feel, you've just given all your fucking power away. And I know you believe the same thing about that. So yeah, that was a bit of a ramble, but yeah.
What's up, Dream Nation? Have you ever wondered how far ahead your life would have already been if you had got access to this type of content at a younger age? Look, this is why I need your help. I'm trying to build the number one personal development platform out there to teach you guys the tips, tricks, and attitude of what it takes to live your dream life, and to bring the type of education that we all wish we had in school. This show only grows by word of mouth and new subscribers, so it would mean the world to me if you could smash that subscribe button right now, leave us a 5-star written review, or drop a comment below and share this episode with a friend. I would be forever grateful. All right, now let's get back into this episode.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Like I think maybe last time we were actually, I might have been talking about this with you last time, actually. I'm like, if someone says to you, you're a big, fat, blue elephant, you'd probably be like, are you all right?
Yeah.
Right? Or if someone comes up to you and says, you're a little insecure bitch, and you believe that about yourself,
yeah,
you'd probably crush you.
Yeah.
And I've always leaned into the things that have hurt me to be like, where can I still grow from this? Definitely. And you know, it's, I don't know, it's just, I just really recommend everyone do the freaking work. I guess that's why I do everything I do, because there's no greater feeling. If I look back 10 years ago in my life, and you're saying the person flipped off the finger.
Yeah.
The amount of road rage I used to get into, right? 10 years ago, I was 20. I was still getting road rage at 20. I used to have a pole in my car, right? And the amount of times I took it out and smashed other people's cars with it.
Far out.
I'm not kidding you. Wow. Right? Or the amount of fights I got into because I just shit on the road.
Yeah.
And it would just put me into this rage
yeah.
for like a week.
Yeah.
And now when things happen, I'm like, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And then I just continue with my life. Like I shared this actually on a podcast the other day with Ryan, actually. I was in Bali and some dude, I was driving down the street. And it's funny, like the more you know with this, the more you start to question everything. Like,
yeah.
All the equations going around your head. Yeah. And I was driving down my scooter, down the road in Bali, and I got Simona on the back and we're hooking it. We're doing like 60, 70K down a hill. And this guy is walking across the street and he stands right in the middle of the road. And I'm about 100 meters away from him now, so I'm just going, bip, 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 bip. And the closer I'm getting, the more it's like, bip, 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 bip. And then I'm holding it down. I'm like, bip. I'm like, the fuck is this guy doing? And I beep and I brake and I come right up to him and he's just standing there. He looks at me, right? And as soon as I was nearly at a halt, he walks up to the bike and front kicks the bike. Like, he was pissed.
Fucking hell.
He boots the bike. Simone's on the back and I'm like, are we on? I kick the screw down. I said, hold the scooter. And then he starts pushing me. He's grabbing me in the throat and he's going, come on, come on. Fucking you want to fight me? You want to fight me? And instantly my first reaction was, how did I create this?
Yeah. It's beautiful, man.
Right?
Beautiful.
And then my second thought was, I'm going to knock you the fuck out if you keep going. Right? Right? And then it was just, I could not believe it, but I was like, why is this happening right now? How is this happening? And then after we had some pushes back and forth and stuff, and I was like, dude, get the fuck out of my way. I picked up my license plate that fell off.
Yeah.
And then I was like, get the fuck off the road. Like, you're holding up all this traffic. He's like, you think I'm scared of you? You think I'm scared of you? I'm like, and then after a bit where I was like, this ain't going nowhere. He's not going to hit me. I'm not going to hit him. I'm like, get out of my way. Get back on the bike. I said, baby, can you hold this letter? And we just drove off. And about 20 seconds goes past, and I'm like, fuck, he had a bad day, eh? Yeah. And we just laughed about it. And I was like, that's just so funny. It's just so funny because it used to mean so much more to me when people do that. It'd mean all these things about me. But now I'm just like, that was just so fascinating. I did question it. I was like, how I created it. But then also, I'd love to know your opinion on this. For the people, I think you can sometimes go down a rabbit hole as well of there's a line of responsibility and then blame.
Yeah.
And it's not useful to blame ourselves for things. Sometimes, this is why I honestly believe, sometimes there is just shitty people doing shitty things.
Yeah.
And you're in the same area as them.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you can't control that quote that I said before, like, what someone does is their shit. Like, that guy is having a shit day, right?
Like, I could see it in his face. I was like, this guy is so hurt. Insecure.
He's hurt, man. Hurt, yeah, people. Like, this
guy,
hurt people.
I wanted to hug him after I want to give him an elbow as well.
Man, hurt people hurt people. So,
yeah.
That you're going to, I love stoicism if you've gone down the rabbit hole, Ryan Holiday. And it's I don't know. I forget the name of the Stoics and who says what, but it's like, you're going to run into bad people, to mm-hmm. people that are annoying, that are mean, that are angry. It's like, to be expected. It's like, you're gonna pump into them. And mm-hmm. And those people, the get benefit of them, they're gonna challenge you, like a calm ocean never made a great sailor. They're similar to like the relationship. That's a very testing time for you to handle your emotions and not default to old Morgan who had a fucking bar in his car to pull it out and start swinging. It's like, that's a testing opportunity.
Mm.
So. Yeah,
I used to act like that because I didn't feel like I was adequate enough.
Mm,
yeah. So I used to, like, it's probably the reasons why, like, you know, I trained Muay Thai for 8-9 years. Yeah. I was a very good fighter. I was a very good fighter mixed with an extremely angry kid.
Yeah.
And I think it was, you know, I would do that. So when I'd go out on the streets or clubbing or whatever, and I was very little. Like, I used to fight, my low 55 kilos was the smallest I got to for a fight once. All That's right. how small I was back then. And, you know, now I'm like 78 or something. So it's like, it's crazy. But I really think those things were coming from a place of, I need to prove something.
Yeah.
And it was so great once I got rid of all that shit. And I was like, I just get to do because I want to.
Yeah.
So how can people start to become aware? Well, you've already talked about, you know, the triggers and stuff is awareness.
Yeah.
How can we start to actually do the work in relation to improving our businesses?
Yeah, cool. Well, I was like in one category, like, get into the next. So like, I've got steps that I do and pieces of the puzzle that I put together for the clients that I work with. I guess it depends on specifically, obviously business is so multifaceted, whether it's marketing, there's like, everyone says the 80-
so as like a business owner, right? Because like if we're not doing the work on ourselves, it's gonna ripple into the business.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, and you've probably seen the same. It's like, the more work you do, the more money you make.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that. It's like, money is very easy to make now. I'm like, it used to feel so hard.
Yeah.
the more work I do, I'm like, I release this baggage.
Yeah.
Right?
Man, similar to the stuff you're alluding to, like for a business owner, I always start with everyone I work with, like understand authentically who they are. Like a lot of people, and I was doing this when I was in the gym chapter, is chasing goals for quote wrong reasons that were fueled out of insecurity, not inspiration. So I always start with helping people understand their authentic self, their values, their purpose, their mission, their vision, and then start to sort of dive into, like you're saying, like letting go and releasing those things that are weighing you down as such. So I think for any sort of high achiever entrepreneur, people that just want to grow, want to achieve more, and they know they're getting in their own way, they're self-sabotaging, they're taking one step forward, two steps back, they get crippled by fear, anxiety, or whatever's, I guess, affecting them. I always start with authentically knowing who you are. So that, for me, is values, purpose, mission, vision. Who are you? What's intrinsically meaningful to you? Where are you going? What's your purpose? And your purpose is an expression of your biggest core wound once healed. Mission's given you a 5-10 year goal, what you're going to crush in the next sort of 5 to 10 years. Vision is like, what does life look like? Like, what does life look like within your values in that sort of 5 to 10 year period? And then for me, I love balancing. I love healing. And then how to apply it. It, like you said, if you're aware of your triggers, like people say, oh, where do I start sort of doing the work? Just be conscious of when you're triggered. All of the clients I work with personally, I get them to, from the day I start working with them, to write down in their notes every single time you get triggered.
Mm.
Again, the bigger the trigger, the bigger the wound, the bigger the healing. But again, the smaller ones are the really ones that you can notice. Like a really small one with me in Georgia that popped up because she sees these sides of me that no one else would really see. Like me and her were like play fighting on the bed, just like wrestling each other. And she pinned me down and she said, sing for me. And I froze up. I like literally froze up. And she's like, you're fucking triggered right now. I'm like, I am. She's like,
where's this? High School Musical went bad or something?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, and my mind, and so I'm like, fuck, I used to be in the choir when I was really young. And I stopped, but I can't remember why I stopped. And
You still can't remember?
Still can't remember. And that's where I've actually just paid for an energy healer because there's different modalities of healing. And I'm not an energy healer. That's not my modality, but I'm going down that because I guarantee there's something there. I just don't know. I'm not aware of. Like my healing is when there's awareness there. Without the awareness, that's kind of outside of my sort of ways of doing things. But yeah, so I guess back to the business owner is, what are your values? What's your purpose? What's your mission? What's your vision? And then start to process, because all of those things that trigger you, it's not just triggering you, it's siphoning your energy. Because you think about it, your mind's like, I've had clients that said they struggle to sleep at night. And 9 out of 10 times, they're trying to process things that they haven't processed yet. It's like if you cut your arm, you don't have to tell your body to heal it. Mm. It heals it. We have an intelligence that's within you, that's within me. It heals. What like Joe Dispenza, whatever made the body, heals the body. The intelligence, sorry, that made the body, heals the body. And when you have a cut with your mind, a judgment, a trauma, a wound, something that pissed you off, something that's on your mind is trying to heal it. But how often do we give our mind the room to breathe? We spend so much time on fucking social media, on working, on hustling, on bills, on partying, on whatever it may be. It's like so many people avoid their own thoughts because the shit comes up, because it's actually trying to heal. That's where meditation comes into it. That's where journaling comes into it. That's where having a coach, having a therapist, doing whatever sort of modality you want to go down. So the short answer is do the inner work. I'm just trying to sort of give examples of it for people. Limiting beliefs is one of them. Like I've gone down the NLP path just like yourself. So limiting beliefs is one of the, I guess, tools that I use to work with my clients is obviously you make all your beliefs true. So if you're not worthy, you're not good enough. If you get more successful, you'll have more problems. I've heard that a lot with the high achievers. That's why they kind of hit a bit of a plateau. They're making some money, but they've unconsciously taught themselves that the more I grow, the more problems I get.
Mm.
So you kind of like sort of, what am I saying? Float around that area. They're the main ones I work through. And then they show up as like self-sabotage. It shows up as imposter syndrome. It shows up in self-doubt. It shows up in getting triggered a lot. Like those are all sort of symptoms. And then I'm just looking for, with the awareness that I have, is where is it coming from? Let's ask the questions, find the judgment, find the block, find the hurt, find the wound, heal that, and then the symptom will go away. Mm. So to do it by yourself without the tools, it's fucking hard. Oh, it's not hard. It's like you can journal, you can meditate, but when you got the steps, when you got the questions, when you got the structure, it's fucking easy.
Yeah. One of the ways I've always sort of worked with working on, I guess, limiting beliefs is I would work with, because our brain's all these neurons and everything happening. So I used to wear these rubber bands, like a silicon rubber band. And every single time I would become aware of thought, because personal growth and getting to the next level is just awareness. Like, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I'd become aware of, like, oh my God, that's a limiting belief, or that's a negative thought or whatever. And we have 65,000 thoughts a day, roughly. Yeah. There's going to be a shit ton of them that come up.
Yeah.
So I have this band on, and as soon as I think about it, I snap the band.
Yeah.
Now, so I was talking about this on an interview one time, and someone was like, oh, but, you know, it's not really good. It's self-harm. And you know what? You're doing more fucking harm to your body and your soul and your future self and your siblings and your children and your children's children by holding that fucking belief.
Absolutely.
So snap the band.
Yeah.
So I snap the band because it does two things. It interrupts the pattern of the thought. Yeah. It's going to interrupt the pattern of the thought. And if we do this enough times, it's not going to be able to actually connect that thought the entire way anymore.
Yeah.
If we continually interrupt it, like, it's just going to anchor in a new, like, every single time I start this thought, it actually introduces pain and it doesn't connect it anymore. It's like pulling a CD out of a tape player, scratching it, trying to put it back in. It's going to go and scratch. Yeah. It won't be able to complete it. But the second thing it does is it creates pain. Our brain will do anything to avoid pain.
Yeah.
So as soon as we start to think, oh, but I'm not good, all right, and our brain literally does this in a millisecond, I'm not going to think that anymore because every time I think it, it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
But then we can't stop there. We've got to interrupt the pattern, inflict some pain, then rewrite it with something that's pleasurable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more than good enough. You know, I accept me. I can do this.
I like your everything is figure outable.
Everything is figure outable, right?
I took that one off, yeah.
You know, and so every single day I actually write down three things. I'll write down two goals.
Yep.
And then I write down an I am statement.
Beautiful.
And usually the I am statement lasts for about 90 days or so. And then so I try something else. And it's just whatever I'm feeling like I'm needing to step more into at the moment.
I like it, man.
And so at the moment it's I'm calm and effective.
That's cool, man.
Because I usually do hectic shit all the time.
Yeah.
But it's like, so I'm like, no, I'm extremely effective. Calm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm calm and productive and effective, right? But that's one of the things that, you know, that I do with people sort of, they can start doing it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got to become aware of it. So
there's cool, well, on that, Simon Sinek has a cool story. He was like, do you want to rest that water? Do you want to steal it off you, sir? He's like, he said he, like, there was this huge talk. It was like the talk of talks to get to for public speakers. Like I forget the name of the organization, but he got up. It was like, you crush this, you're like set for life for speaking, because like all the big brands, all the big names are there that pay like tens, hundreds of thousands for talks. And like, he got up and he'd already done like heaps of talks. He had a decent name for him at this time. And he got up and he just had a big blank.
Simon Sinek did.
Yeah. And he just, something he did, he just owned it. He just said like, I've just had a big blank.
Mm.
And then he just owned it. But then the crowd actually clapped him and he kept going. So
my first,
I applaud that.
My first ever speaking gig, where I was doing a keynote, I did that. I got flown up to Cairns to speak to a room. We had about 150 people in the room.
Yeah.
And I was the last speaker of the day, right? Which is always the biggest one.
Made
it. You could bring it home. And the whole night before, I'm freaking out. So I barely slept. And I'm thinking, this is how I'm going to open it. I walk up there and I forget how I was going to open it.
Perfect.
My opening line was literally, I have barely slept tonight. I barely slept last night because I've been so stressing about what I was actually going to say, and I've got no idea what I was even going to say now. I completely forgot.
I love the vulnerability, man.
And then the crowd went wild.
Yeah.
And then I actually used that trick for many events after. I'd walk up and I'd say, I've completely forgot what I was, how I was going to open this, so I'm just going to roll. Is that cool?
Yeah.
And that would be actually my trick to getting them to be like, I like this guy. He's real.
Yeah, vulnerable, man.
Now I just sort of, now I don't have to do that. But, you know, I definitely learned the authenticity from that in the beginning. But what's been, who's been your biggest teacher so far?
I guess it depends on the area. The first thing that comes to mind is either Kerwin Ray, which I know you know him well as well, or John DeMartini. Those would probably be my top two. Depends on the area, obviously, specifically. Kerwin was, I guess, the earliest one. I went through his mastermind, and I call it an apprenticeship of business. Like, I think I've shared with you about it before. It's just like legals, finances, sales, marketing, leadership, like everything, like all the sort of main pillars of a business, like really like jam-packed into an experience. So him, because of, I guess, how pivotal he was in my journey, was fantastic. From a sort of personal transformation and helping me with my stuff and helping me heal through my shit, work on my stuff, know my values and my purpose and do that, and what's influenced my way of viewing the world, it would be Dr. John DeMartini. Just his DeMartini process, values, the values factor, the breakthrough experience, two of my favorite books. Yeah, just the way you know a book is great when you see the world differently. And his books did that for me.
You know, the thing though with the values in the way in that concept is it sort of presupposes that we are who we are and we don't change.
Yeah, I can see truth to that.
Yeah. And so has there been a point in your time where you haven't valued the things you value now?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think values evolve. I guess my view on that is you fill your void. So it's like, I have a high value in wealth. Like, it's when I fill that void, the next sort of bigger void, the next biggest void sort of moves its way up. And you have obviously different chapters of life around family. Like when kids come into the picture for me, I'm assuming family may or may not come a little bit up, maybe not. but yeah, it's, I guess that's my view on it, my man.
Mm-hmm. What's something you know now that you wish you knew when you started business?
Man, what my purpose was and the direction. And I know, like, the cliche answer is like, someone asked me the other day, it's like, what's something you regret? Like, nothing, everything happens for a reason. So, look, everything happened for a reason. It's led me to where I am and I'm grateful for what I've been through. But if I could go start there with everything I know, or this piece of advice, is just knowing what purpose is, knowing what mine was, and building a business in alignment with that. Because the gym chapter of my life was a very ego-driven goal. And it was good. It got me started. Obviously, learned a lot through that process and made some good money, lost a lot of money. But it was a good experience. But now doing my purpose-led business, which is truly aligned with my values, purpose, vision, it's like I'm making way more money, way less effort. I'm more inspired to do it. I'm making more impact. So yeah, knowing purpose, knowing what mine was, and actually knowing that you can build a purpose-led business, that would be my piece of advice.
How did you discover your mission and your purpose?
For me, my process of going through purpose for myself and for clients is we do values first, and then we all have different purposes in life. Like, you have a purpose of being, do you want kids in the future? Is that something you want?
Yeah, I think it'll happen.
Beautiful. So say if and when that happens, you'll have a purpose of being a father figure. If you have a purpose of being a great partner for your partner, you have a purpose of being a speaker, of being a teacher, of being someone who makes impact, of being a businessman, of being a learner. I know you love learning. You do a lot of learning, man. Mm. It's inspiring. And yeah. So we all have many different purposes, but like the sort of the guiding light, the Northern Star, is your biggest purpose is an expression of your biggest value. Our values come from voids. So your biggest core wound or core void, once healed, is your biggest purpose. So mine was, my biggest wound, which I alluded to before, was feeling scared, hurt, and vulnerable when I was younger. That was the emotional volatility with dad, not feeling seen, heard, loved, emotional, struggled to regulate emotions, cried at school, first day of school, like I mentioned. And that was my biggest core wound. So my expression of that is to heal and raise the consciousness of the world. So it's helping, we become the person we needed when we were at our lowest. So that's the journey I'm taking. I'm becoming the person that I didn't have. So, and what did I need back then? It was consciousness. To understand how to fucking communicate, to understand how to regulate and breathe, because I was such a, like, I don't do it anymore, but like, my foot would be like this on the floor all the time.
Yeah.
I went to Kerwin's Mastermind, actually. I don't know if I've shared this story with you. And I'm 22, two gyms at the time, and I'm like the youngest at the table by like 20 years. And I'm like, I'm going to learn sales and marketing, money, and I'm going to make more money. And like, the Mastermind, it's like a table of like sort of 15, 20 people. And there's people like 60 years old, been in business for 40 years, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. And I'm like this kid doing like 5-10 grand a week in revenue, not profit. And like, they comes up to me, hey guys, my name's Lewis. And the whole time I'm like, my feet are fucking like tapping all over the floor. And I'm like, hey, my name's Lewis. This is my business. This is what I do. This is what I'd like to work on. I want some help with. First fucking question, they said, what's your relationship like with your dad? And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, the people will ask you.
That was the question I got. From the whole table, or not the whole table, one person obviously goes at a time, but that was the first question I got.
Was that like a random question from him, or is this like set up like that?
It wasn't, I don't know the sort of thoughts behind it. If you know Kerwin, you know Marie, it's kind of his right-hand woman. She was on the table, like she came for my mastermind. I don't know if that was scheduled or she just happened to be there. But yeah, I think it was just, they obviously someone could see my anxious sort of uneasy energy. And just before that mastermind kicked off, because I was doing that thing with my foot, the guy next to me, his man's Matt, I forget his last name, put his hand on my leg and said, "Do you do grounding?" I was like, mm-hmm. "What the fuck is that?" He's like, "I'm going to send you a book." And like, one of my takeaways from my mastermind, where I was going to get sales and marketing and like all this sort of high level achievement strategy shit, was to read the book, The Way of the Superior Man. Mm. It was about like purpose and nervous system and like being, I guess, an embodied conscious man. So, which all comes back from those dad wounds that I've got, that I've worked through and I'm still working through. So, yeah. I don't know where that came from, but yeah.
Tell us about The Way of the Superior Man. That is a book that every guy should probably read. Yep. What was your biggest thing you took from that?
I actually said the other day, I want to reread it because
reread it too.
Yeah. I read it. Last time I reread it, I've read it twice. Second time I read it was probably 2 years ago. For me, ones that come to mind, your purpose is more important than your relationship.
That's my biggest takeaway as well.
So purpose comes first. Like, for people that put their relationship ahead of their purpose, even though short term your partner might like it, your partner actually builds resentment for you because you're not a man chasing his embodied purpose. So that was one of my bigger takeaways. Live as if your father was dead. That was a big one for me as well.
Live as if your father was dead.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning behind that?
I think it's been a while since it's testing my memory now, but from memory, my takeaway anyway, is a lot of people live their life trying to please their dad. And that was me as well. So it's like, well, what if he was dead? How would you live life? Would you still be doing things to prove it to him? Which I guess I was doing through the gyms and achieving to impress him. I like Tony Robbins' movie. I'm sure you've watched it. Like towards the end, he has that question, like, which parent did you crave love off the most? Mm-hmm. And who did you have to be for that parent? For me, it was an achiever. I did it through sports. So I craved my dad's love because I didn't get it the way that I wanted it. And I learned that I would become a high achiever through sports. Rugby league was my thing, because I'd achieve well and I'd get his love. And then that changed into business. The more business and successful I get, I'll get his approval and love. So I think that's what I took away from that. It's been a while since I've done it. They're probably the two main ones I can think of. But yeah, I literally said, I think last week, that's going to be next on my hit list.
Yeah. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I see a lot of guys fuck this up, actually, because they leave school. They start dating and then they marry somebody, right? Very stereotypical, right? And then what's next? Okay, we're going to have kids and da, 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 da. But like, what's your purpose? What are you actually living for?
Yeah.
And in that book, it made it so clear to me that it's like a man without a purpose is, there's no other way, like not a man, right? But it's like
it's empty.
Yeah, it is, right? It's like the most important thing is to actually pursue your purpose, the reason you're here.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that I see happen in relationships is the woman is actually more programmed to want to settle down and nest earlier.
Yep.
Right? Men want to go out there, take more risks earlier.
Yep.
They're more prone to, risk and danger first, and they want to make money.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've been programmed to be the providers.
Yep.
So what happens is the man wants to actually go out there and go, I want to make a fuckload of money, and only when I hit my amount of money that I feel safe and secure with,
yep,
then I'll naturally feel ready to progress to the next step, which is family.
Yeah.
But it's around the other way for women, because women are like, well, I want to nest very quickly. I need this. That's what they're programmed, because they're biologically, we think back to, the tribal days, it's they produce the next life. Yeah. And I see a lot of men give up on their purpose because they're like, well, I should have kids. Maybe park it for another 10 years and go and pursue your mission, go and pursue your purpose, and go and make a fuckload of money. And I've talked about this with Simona. I'm like, so when we first started dating, she's like, do you want kids? And I said, I'll tell you truthfully, now, who I am now, no.
Yeah.
She goes, well, that's going to be a problem because I know I want kids one day.
Yeah.
I said, I know you do as well. Like, it's very likely that you do. But I'm just telling you the truth. Me, who I am right now as a 26-year-old guy,
yeah,
I don't want kids right now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but I'd also be foolish to think at 35, when we're making mega millions, that I wouldn't naturally think this is what I want next.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what I'll do. Like, but right now, my mission is to make so much money, so we're so secure and we're so happy and confident. So when we have a family, we now get to go, there's nothing off limits of the education we want to give them, the lives I want to give them, the upbringing. We'll hire a nanny to help us, all these sorts of things. I never want to be in that family where we're struggling to sort of, I know there's lots of people out there that different circumstances, but I think a big problem with males at the moment is that they have a lack of purpose. They don't know why the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Waking up every day.
Man, I fucking agree, to be honest.
Yeah. What's your advice to, like, let's say, and this is advice, okay? Or however you want to do it. Let's say for a relationship listening to this right now and they're like, I feel a little bit of incongruency in my relationship.
Yep.
You know, we are triggering each other more. Or we are, I don't feel like there's life in here. Yep. Man, maybe the man's sort of playing more the feminine side and the woman's playing more the masculine side.
Yep.
What's your advice to these people to sort of reignite some spark into their life and their relationship?
I need a couple of hours, but depending, I'll go big picture and then depending where they're on in that sort of that timeline, you got to understand individually, so both partners, man, woman, doesn't matter. What this is, so individually answer each for each other. What are your values? What's your vision? What's the vision for the relationship? Is there alignment? So if there's not alignment, just like hiring someone, like if you're hiring someone to do a job and they can't do the job, don't hire them. Like if you do, you're going to be put in a square peg in a round hole. Similar to what you were saying before with Simona, if you're like, I never want kids, I'll never have kids. And she's like, I'm going to have kids. Wrong. It's not going to work. You're going to inevitably hit a roadblock. That's unsolvable. So what's the vision and are you both aligned with it? And fundamentally, like Georgia does things that like, she's an opera singer. She's a trained opera singer. She's got a beautiful voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, it is beautiful, man. She's got a beautiful voice. So she sings right in my ear really loud just to annoy me. So it's like, did I have that in my vision? No, but that's like just like a nice benefit, right? But I want a very feminine, nurturing, loving mother. So is she a very feminine, nurturing, loving mother? Yes, of course. I want someone who looks after their health. She loves her health. She trains every day, looks after her health, very health orientated. I want someone who's into self-development. She's into that. And so like the non-negotiables are aligned. And then the part which I think would answer your question there is, are you both willing to become the people worthy of that vision? Because in that, there's so much. Well, what's the guy missing? What's the girl missing? Who's missing what? Is the guy missing purpose? Then go fucking find it. Find a coach, read a book. Like every problem is figure outable. Every problem has an answer. And you can probably check it out on Google. It'll probably get me a good, or YouTube. ChatGPT. Like there's answers out there. I'll find a coach. You listen to a podcast right now. There's obviously, you're into self-development if you're listening to this. Is it that you're not attracted to each other sexually because you guys don't put in fucking effort? I've had those conversations with Georgia from her to me and me to her. Like we say, hey, look, I don't, the way you do this, like this is a little trigger that I brought up with her or some feedback she gave me. My little inner child, I used to be like really gross with food. So I'd chew food and I'd like stick my tongue out with my food in it to gross her out. And she said, and it hurt a bit, but it was a good lesson. She's like, babe, you doing that really turns me off and I'm less attracted to you when you do that. And that hurt. I'm like, oh, well, that fucking hurt, but you're right. Thank you. And I'll stop doing that. So it's like, what things are you guys doing that aren't aligned? Like what isn't aligned? Like her, before we started dating, I was into the self-development world at the time when I was 22 when we met. 22. And like she wasn't. I said, hey, babe, like non-negotiable for me is that like my partner needs to work on themselves. Because if you don't, your insecurities and shit's going to ruin this. So that was something that I brought to the table and it was non-negotiable for me. And what are yours to me? I wasn't as healthy as I am now. Mm. I used to get away with it through training. I'll just train the house down, but I'd eat like shit all the time. Yeah. So it's like, I'm a lot better with my health now. I'm not as extreme with my work. I still work long days when I choose to, but I don't feel guilty for working. I'm okay switching off. I'm okay actually doing other things. But yeah, so the part to answer that original question is what's the parts that each of you are not doing that's not going to get you to the vision? And it might be self-development. It might be chasing purpose. Like you're referring to the guy that has no purpose. It might be, I don't know. It just depends on what's coming up. Someone's insecurity, someone's triggers, wounds like you were talking about before. Like are both of you working through your shit? Because if you don't, it's just going to keep bubbling up and getting worse, and as soon it's going to fucking explode. So yeah. It just depends what the specific problem is.
I love the powerful questions you ask each other, and I think that it's so simple, but healthy communication and being okay, like the fact that she said that to you
and
she feels okay to say it and not worry about hurting your feelings, you got to do that because otherwise it gets bottled up. And, you know, me and Savannah will do that. We'll say shit to each other as well. Like, I think I have actually said that to her before as well, the exact same thing. When you do that, I actually feel less attracted.
Yeah.
Which is a truthful thing because it's polarity. Attraction is not a, you gross me out.
Yeah.
Attraction is like energetically, I'm just, you know, so I think the questions in itself are fantastic. So, dude, this has been sick having you back on here and having a great chat. It's
always good to connect, man.
Where can everybody find you on socials?
Man, Lewis Huckstep across the board. I'm mainly active on Instagram. I post on TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook. But if you actually want to have a chat, Lewis Huckstep. I love chatting, man. So I will, I'm sometimes slow with messages, but I will get back to you. Just give me some time.
Love it. And I don't know if you remember my question I asked at the end of the podcast.
Fuck, but that was a long time ago, man.
I'm going to hit you with it again.
Go for it.
If you were to go back to your 18-year-old self and give him 30 seconds of advice, what would it be?
Read the breakthrough experience, read the values factor, find your purpose, build a business in alignment with your purpose, and invest into self-development faster than what you are right now.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you got value from this episode, it goes such a long way. If you can just take 20 seconds of your time, leave me a 5-star rating and written review, then screenshot this episode and share it to your story. And make sure you tag me for that shout out. And until next time, guys, go out there and dream out loud.